off his back foot, and it is hauled in the end zone by Jordan Cameron for a touchdown.
And I tell you, if you have not followed the Cleveland Browns at all, they have some players in that franchise, and Jordan Cameron is certainly one of them.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Yeah, that was Chris Collinsworth on the call last night from the Pro Bowl in Honolulu. And I want to thank NBC Sports for that clip. Collinsworth basically telling the nation, you know, if you haven't followed this team, this Browns team, yeah, they got some players. And I think that was, if nothing else was accomplished in a 4-12 disaster of a season in which the entire coaching staff got fired, when all was said and done, this team has been subjected to a whole lot of ridicule for the whole coaching search, for the firing and the coaching search that followed. But you get a comment like that on national TV from a guy who has no particular Cleveland love. In fact, he played for the Bengals all those years, so he was kind of a rival of this team. It means a little something, at least.
It certainly does mean a little something. And Chris Collinsworth, well, it was in a way, I could say they've got a lot of players there in Cleveland. Yes, they do. Every team's got 53 of them. But yeah. I know what he was trying to say. And, yeah, yes, there is a lot of talent here. That's one of the reasons why I think there is a sentiment that if the Browns can get things right in this draft, they are going to be on the precipice of a very quick turnaround to greatness. And I really hope that, obviously, everybody listening, us doing this show, hope that that is, in fact, the case. But there are core pieces in place for this Browns team. And I certainly hope that, you know, coming off this Pro Bowl, if we may not get the news we want on the offensive coordinator side of the ball, hopefully we can get, you know, some news about T.J. Ward, Alex Mack, and the fact that they may or, you know, return to the Cleveland Browns going forward.
Yeah, no, I agree. I totally agree. If that too is another part of this, is if we do get to see this team retain some of the top players that it has on the team, who participated in the Pro Bowl, who have gotten All Pro recognition, you know that. And I don't know that the Pro Bowl itself isn't the reason you do that. I mean, hopefully you've analyzed and assessed, and this team is big on analytics and big on crunching numbers, and hopefully all the numbers that have been guiding the front office of the Cleveland Browns and guiding the decisions, every decision they make regarding players and coaches, if all of that adds up the right way and that they retain those two players and find a way to do it, yeah, I think that would be a plus. Bob in North Olmsted joins us now. Hello, Bob.
Yeah, hello.
Hey, Bob.
Hello. Hi.
Yes, sir.
I was going to throw out a name there. What about Kevin Kilbride? Because didn't that the McAdoo, one of the guys that they interviewed there, take the OC job in New York? And would that free up Kevin Kilbride maybe to be?
Well,
He retired. I don't know that he wants to come back, Bob. That's the thing. Kevin's been at this a long time. Now, I've heard different speculation. I've also heard speculation that he might choose to come back under the right circumstances, might sit a year out. But he's been at it a while, and I'm not sure that this is an opportunity he's going to look at and say, hey, I want to come back and be a part of this. Because, once again, it's a fixer-upper. You're trying to do a lot, and I don't know that it means it's an ugly job to take or an undesirable job to take. If you are trying to make your mark as a coach, I would think, Nathan, part of this could be attractive because you have an opportunity. If you do something good with this particular team under these circumstances, you've done something.
There's no question. And you're also knowing that you're going to come into a job that will have massive upgrades in talent over what was there last year. So if you can do your job, you should be putting an offense on the field that's more explosive, more efficient than its predecessor, because you will have a new running back. You will most likely have a quarterback to come in and compete with Brian Hoyer. You will have a legitimate number two receiver who comes up big, not little, on a weekly basis. And you'll have a slot receiver who will catch the football. So there are a lot of reasons to think that this is an offense that can get massively better in 1 year. So there is that upside of coming in and taking over that and being the person who gets the credit for that, even though I think a lot of good things were put in place and the talent influx will be great.
Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Vic Carucci with you, coming from Super Bowl 48 Radio Row, right here in the heart of Manhattan, and enjoying being here. I'll be here all week long. Nathan Zagura in Northeast Ohio for the entire week as we continue our roadshow. I was in Mobile, Alabama last week, or at least part of the week, until some news broke and the Browns hired a new head coach. And in the discussion of Mike Pettine, in the discussion of him being a coach who comes with obviously the great defensive credentials that he has, a point I made in a column I wrote for ClevelandBrowns.com is related to the point of him being attentive to the offense, him paying close attention to that side of the ball, and basically he wouldn't coach this team with his back to the offense. He had some interesting comments to make about Brian Hoyer when we did a follow-up conversation with him at the end of last week, and to the extent that he said, guy's a winner, the intangibles are off the charts with him, that he really likes Hoyer, and the way he spoke about him, Nathan, you get the drift, you got the distinct idea that he knows he could very easily be counting on this guy, and it mattered to him as the head coach, not just the guy who has coached defense anymore. Now he's seen the big picture, that's the kind of guy that, and we know the draft, we don't know what it's going to bring for this team or how ready that guy will be that they draft to play this year. But I think it was quite clear he wanted to kind of put it out there that he's aboard with having Hoyer as his starter in 2014 if need be.
Well, listen, the final comment to me says it all. I think he's a winning quarterback in this league, end quote. So, yes, and there's the possibility that if the Browns feel this way, that and the draft goes a certain way, they may decide to address a bunch of different holes and not address the quarterback position. That certainly is feasible, too. I do think they would draft somebody at some point, but it might not be at 4 overall. And if that's the case, then Brian Hoyer likely will be the starting quarterback early, and they could do him the favor of getting him a Sammy Watkins to put opposite of Josh Gordon. Coming back and getting a Brandon Cooks from Oregon State later in the first round, all of a sudden you have one of the most dynamic passing attacks full of youth, talent, speed, danger, electricity in the NFL for a guy like Brian Hoyer to work with. So there are many roads that this Browns organization can take here, and given that Mike Pettine does like Brian Hoyer, and we know that the front office likes Brian Hoyer, certainly a lot of the fans want to see Brian Hoyer get that shot. It's possible. Yeah. We won't know specifically until after the draft, but I would, you know, if depending on how the rest of the draft goes and the talent they surround him with, that's something that could work and work well.
All right, we got calls to get to, and we will get to them. Tom and Eastlake and Charles and Canton, we'll get to you guys. It is Cleveland Browns Daily. We are driven by Liberty Ford. I am broadcasting from Radio Row, Super Bowl 48 in the heart of Manhattan, and Nathan Zagura in Northeast Ohio. This is CBD, and you're listening to ESPN 850 WKNR.